Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Hey, UK Bills Mafia. This is Christian Wade of your Buffalo Bills. This is the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast with your hosts, Matt and Alex. Let's go, Buffalo! Woo!
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues, a UK's Bills podcast. UK Bills. Oh, fuck it.
Breathe, reset. This is like a blooper reel.
Oh,
did you see I put the blooper of the when you were doing the Cardinals interview? Did you not watch it? No, yeah. When his dog walks in, I put the little blooper reel on there. Nobody watches these videos, so it doesn't matter. All right, whenever you're ready.
I'm going to do this. Ready? Hello and welcome to the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast. Bills news with a UK twist. Matt and Alex bring you the review of week one and a victory against the Jets. Now, Alex, how was your trip up to Scotland?
Yeah, so right out of work, jumped in the car, and my wife drove, God bless her, 6 hours to Edinburgh. So watched the game on my laptop via hotspot. Thank you, Vodafone, for your quality UK coverage.
We're not promoting Vodafone.
No sponsor.
Anything we promote is Orange Buffalo.
Yeah. It was a really good preseason game, right? You know, nice, easy.
Well, the first half was like a preseason game.
Yeah, yeah.
Second half was more like a regular game.
A little bit, and I think maybe you had some injuries come into play there, halftime adjustments. But if you look at how well the first half went, you're looking at a coaching staff who put together a game script that knew how to beat the Jets. They knew what to target. They knew what to go for. They knew which plays to call that made Allen comfortable, that made the rest of the offense comfortable, and it worked. So I think what we're going to do for this show is kind of break it down quarter by quarter, because it really felt like there was four different quarters, you know, four different, you know, chapters to this game, right?
Yes. Yes, there was. I think it's going to be interesting to see over the season how each quarter breaks down.
Yeah. What was it last year? We were awful in the third quarter, was it? Or we were good in the third quarter, we were awful in the second quarter.
No, we were rubbish in the first and third, but good in the second and fourth.
Yeah.
But this year, at the moment, the fourth is still there. We're still good in the fourth, but the other ones we got to slightly worry about.
Yeah.
But
the first, I mean, there were just little pieces here and there that obviously you had to worry about. But looking at the first quarter, we're welcomed by the Allen fumbling problems. Just talking about the first one, initially it looked like he was reaching for an extra yard, but it's just, he was reaching because he fumbled the ball. We'll obviously talk about this,
Was it really a fumble? He had it ripped from him.
That's a fumble.
So, yeah, but then technically everyone's obviously going to blame Allen for fumbling it. But you, as I say, for everything, like, it's going to be a good defensive play to actually strip the ball to cause the fumble. So it's not all on Allen. He protected the ball as best he could. He just managed to get ripped.
Well, if you say he protects the ball as best he could, then he protects the ball very poorly. You know, because it happens sometimes. So often. So this one, we're driving. And it probably could have been seven. I say it probably could have been three, but, you know, we could talk about Bass a little bit later. The good news about that first drive is we're driving. It looks good. The chemistry is there. Allen's firing on all cylinders, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's a bounce back. It's how you bounce back from... Yeah. from the mistakes you've made, and probably in the first, after year one, maybe two, you're going to see Alan probably would have bolted or jilted a little bit on that next, after that fumble, but he came back up and led that drive. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's what we both said in the preseason, is that continuity, having about 80-85% of our starting lineup and our whole team back has helped us over the Jets, who had to start four out of five new offensive linemen.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. So that's all I had note-wise, I mean, maybe criticism-wise, on the first quarter. To start the second quarter, Andre Roberts fielding a kickoff or a punt, whatever it was. I liked how shifty he looks. When he has room and he has space, there's a lot to be happy about with Andre Roberts. He had that second return where he ran backwards to try and make something out of nothing, and that was kind of silly. But I like a guy who has that confidence of, I'm going to get the ball and I'm going to do something with it. And he really did that on his third, which was at the start of the second quarter, where he got, I think he got a good 20 or 30 yards off of it. So that was really nice.
Yeah. I mean, it's what they kept him for. It's pretty much the only thing they're going to keep him for. Yes, he had some plays in training camp where it shows he can be serviceable as a wide receiver if necessary. But we saw in that game that Gabe Davis had a fair few targets thrown his way.
I was really glad to see that.
But as I say, they worked all season trying to get the special teams up and running, get the players in to help improve that. And it shows by one, I guess, he's actually had positive runs on each kick return that he's been able to do, and punt returns.
Yeah, he was, third or fourth in the league in return yards total. Top five, I'm sure, in total kickoff and punt return yards. So I made a note in watching the game that Greg Williams, whenever they cut to him, he looked frustrated. I like that. I'm happy that he's frustrated. Speaking of Greg Williams, though, I saw notes on Twitter of a play that I didn't see, because after we went up 27-10, after Bass kicked that field goal, I was like, all right, this game's over. Somebody talking about there was a late hit, helmet to helmet or something. I saw some stuff on Twitter. I didn't see that play. Do you recall something where you saw a hit that bothered you?
On who?
It's one of the Jets defensive players.
The only thing I can think of was a late hit by Williams when he went to tackle, was below the knee.
Okay, yeah.
On Allen.
Maybe that was the only... I mean, I don't really recall. I saw outroar on Twitter about some hit, but I never saw it in the game. There were a few times where my feed cut out because we hit some dead zones along the A1. But
right. Whilst we're talking, I'm going to have a look. I'm going to look it up on Twitter.
Okay. Who would you say was Allen's number one receiver in this game, Brown or Diggs?
Well, I think at the moment it is going to be Brown, because they've got that chemistry. I mean, it's still work in progress. All they've had was training camp and off-season workouts to work with Diggs. Mm-hmm. Timings are there.
Yeah. It was at a certain point in the second quarter where I really liked what Allen and Brown were doing. Just really looked in sync and on point. And it's one game, so let's not overreact. But I imagine Brown and Diggs' numbers are going to be very similar at the end of the year, I feel.
Yeah.
Or I think Beasley might take the biggest hit off of everybody from last year's numbers.
Yeah, I think it is what it is. I mean, as I say, it's chemistry, continuity. It's probably going to be the theme throughout at least this podcast, this review, that he already has built the trust in John Brown. John Brown knows where Allen can throw it. Diggs, we've seen some in the fourth quarter, some of the throws Allen's made actually connect to Diggs, and Diggs not having to break break stride or slow down or anything like that, hitting him directly in the hands.
Yeah, I liked it. There was a lot of digs in the second half that was really good. It looked like the first half was more Brown.
Yeah. But it, as you say, it's going to be one of those where you're going to get both of them are going to be up there. So we could potentially see about 2,000-yard wide receivers. I mean, I've already did a hot take on the last show. Got it right. Spot on. Another hot take that the Bills are going to have Brown and Diggs go close to or over 1,000 yards each.
I mean, I would very much like that. And, of course, you're referring to your hot take of Allen hitting 300 yards today, correct? I made it. We're going to end the show on that note because I know that's a hot button topic for everyone. 300 yards, like it's a thing. So I just have a note about that. The next thing was speaking of Brown, was the audible to the wide receiver screen where Brown just walked it in. That's beautiful. Yeah. And that's Allen showing that he's understanding defenses. Now, to audible to that play, he saw what they had, he knew how to beat it, and he called the right play, and it was perfect. And that was fantastic.
Yeah. Well, just so I've actually found that hit.
Okay.
It was, I couldn't see the number. It was on Josh Allen. It was helmet to helmet.
Was that one of the roughing the passer calls?
Most likely, yes. And then it was a connection to Dawson Knox. So I'd probably say fourth quarter.
Okay. Yeah. I remember only seeing the catch. And then I think I went to my phone to talk in our group about it. I maybe didn't see the hit.
Yeah.
A lot of people talk about how Greg Williams, if you can't beat him, try and hurt him because he's a piece of shit. My next note, LOL Darnold. So I think that's when he threw an interception. Oh, no, that's when he threw.
No, that's when you saw the ghost. I'm going to refer to him as Ghost Darnold now. Screw Sam Darnold, Ghost Darnold.
To summarize Darnold for this game, because I don't think we need to talk about him again, is he good on a bad team, or is there talent there and Gase is wasting it? I don't know. There's a lot about Darnold's game that looks good, but then just looks awful. It's like he's the way we talked about Allen in the first year. You take the good and the bad. With Darnold, you're really taking the bad and seeing glimpses of good. I want to blame Gase for that, though, because here's still a first-round talent, you know?
He's got – I don't think it's helped with Gase. I don't think it's helped with the lack of talent that they've actually put around him and the lack of and the injuries that he's experienced. Obviously, he's lost Robbie Anderson, who's one of his top guys last year.
He had a good game in Carolina this week.
Denzel Mims, the rookie who's injured. I think is a really good wide receiver, can be a really good wide receiver, injured. Mm-hmm. Perryman didn't really get involved. He just didn't have that.
Yeah.
Didn't have those talents around him. I mean, even Herndon actually didn't come alive. Le'Veon Bell, he went out in the second quarter after that pass interference with the hamstring. I think he's a good quarterback. I just think that the Jets are not the team for him.
Fire, yeah. Well, no Jets fans are watching this, so back to the Bills. And, oh, my God, here's the other Allen fumble. I remember a story from either it was SportsCenter or NFL Primetime where there was the 2002 Giants running back Tiki Barber had, like, 8 fumbles on the year. And the next season, he completely changed the way he held the ball. He only focused on fumbling all season. Did Allen not focus on ball security in the offseason? It's clear that Daboll is running design quarterback runs. What can we do to work on his ball security?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Only he can answer that question.
You got to get a coach on and talk about it.
We could do. And go. Probably have contact somewhere.
I bet you Jeff Reinbold can say some good things about that. We'll need to get him on to talk about it.
Yes, we'll get good old Jeff on. We'll try and get some coaches on.
But do you think that we should stop calling design runs? It's a part of our playbook that breeds success, but there's a lot of risk to it. What would you rather see?
I wouldn't say completely stop it. Maybe maybe in a game five or six. Don't completely
rule out. He had 14 carries. That's ridiculous. That's way too much.
Yeah, but then some of those weren't designed.
Well, even if 14 is against a bad team who's good against the run. You know these guys love to hit, and they love to hit quarterbacks. They know to go after the ball with Allen because he's, you know, prone for that. I want to see that number under 10 every week.
Yeah, so as I say, don't get rid of it, because especially in the end zone, you can design a quarterback run like his first touchdown.
Yeah.
Roll out bootleg. So don't completely get rid of it. As I say, have maybe four or five in there that you can use throughout the game, whether not in one block, but spread over. But don't eliminate it, because that's part of the offense it's still going to be guessing, especially if you're going to have three or four wide receivers out. You're going to have three receivers. You may have two running backs in there or anything like that. You get that design run in there, you're still keeping them guessing. But, yeah, don't have too many of them to make him run over eight or more times in a game. Yeah. Get him to more focus on pocket passing, but don't rule it out.
Yeah, I'd love to see it on fourth down. That's when it works. In the red zone, that's when it works. Just kind of got to get him to the sideline, so if he fumbles, it goes out of bounds. Third quarter, a comment about the running game. I think there was only one good run, and it was a draw to Singletary all game, and that was in the fourth quarter. We spoke about the Jets' run defense. I guess they're going to continue to do well in the run defense. So,
yeah.
Was this a mixed? Was this, what would you say is more of a note for this? Our running game is bad, or Dable knew how to attack the defense, and that's why Josh threw it over. 40 times, right?
Something like that. Yeah.
21? Yeah. I
mean, that's a hard one. I think it's a case of Jets are still, even though they're mediocre, they've been rubbish, especially on offense. That defense, especially the front four, they play 4-3 or 3-4. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, but even that, with Mosley out, their linebackers still were really in there. So
yeah, but they will still be strong on that run game. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm not too much concerned that. Okay. That Singletary and Moss didn't really break through, and it relied on Allen to actually get at least the rushing yards close to 100 yards. Mm-hmm. But I'm not worried. I mean, you are going to face teams where you're not going to be able to run on them. You just pass on them. This is what now, with the digs, and now Allen finally breaking that 300-game record, or the 300-game
You can't even call it a milestone, because it's not. It's just,
you possibly could, but yeah.
For Bills fans, it's a milestone. So,
but it's the fact that now we've got more ways to beat you. So if you're gonna stop the run, we'll beat you in the air. If you want to try and then stop us in the air, you know that we're gonna beat you in the run. We can play that. We've got that play action. If he does have more play action passes, I mean, we saw the screen game a lot more.
A lot of good screens, yeah.
So there is ways that you go one way. If it doesn't work, you keep doing it, but you do less of it and more of the passing game, and then that's going to open it up, because they're going to be afraid that you go over top, even if it is over the short to gain.
Yeah,
you've opened up that lane. You're getting the defense guessing. Are they actually going to run it? Let's be strong. They do a fake handoff, and straight away, You got a couple of wide receivers open, ready to catch that, ready to catch it, stretch the defense.
Yeah, and this was also the quarter with the two Bass missed field goals. Statistically, two misses, but I think you can't say obviously he made the first one, but a little bit too much leg, not enough finesse. He was veering right all day.
Yeah,
he's veering right. That's something to work on, but yeah. I would say he didn't miss that first one. No. The second one was really bad. Yeah, Are you worried?
No, I'm not worried. I mean, it seems like the refs felt sorry for the Jets. the fact that they will get, we're pushing him right over, that they'll actually be, they'll feel sorry for him. You can clearly see, even from the long shot, that that was on the inside of those posts. I don't know what the refs were looking at. I wonder if the sun was over the top.
Well, they don't have that view. They're standing underneath the goalposts. I've never had to judge a field goal from that angle. I imagine it's pretty tough, especially when it's right over the upright. I mean, he like I said, he put too much into that. And if he took a little bit off, could have centered it, could have kicked it a little bit lower. You know, it's just a kid learning the ropes, I guess, right?
I think I'm not worried. I am not worried. I think it's like your first game nerves. It's your debut, so to speak. Okay, there's no fans to put that added pressure on there, but
yeah,
you still want to go out there and actually show a good showing. I mean, yesterday I'm gonna use my own personal example. I played my first game in 4 years of football again. I was actually, I actually had nerves. I was actually there thinking, am I still up to this?
Yeah.
Have I still got it in me? Yes, I had in the end, because I kept clean sheet.
Hey-o. Goalkeeper, yeah.
Yeah. 5-0 win, clean sheet. I'm happy with that. But nope. I'm not worried about Tyler. I mean, yes, the first one should have gone over. Second one, yeah, it's possibly looking, you've got to look closely, Ned, at the hold. It's not only is it just his kicking motion,
oh, so and how much power
wants to put in there. Yeah, it's the hold, because obviously each kicker has their own way or side they like to kick.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get laces size, some people like laces and it can just go straight through. Some tend not to.
But I mean, so, you don't need preseason games to practice field goals, though.
No,
this shouldn't be an issue.
Technically, you probably would, because in training camp, you're not kicking against pressure. You're not kicking against the opposition actually charging to actually try and push. So, and you see in warm-ups, all they do is they have the little tee and then just kick it.
Right.
No pressure.
Yeah.
So most people could do it. I probably could make a load of those field goals. But then when it comes to the pressure, when it comes to people coming over,
yeah. So
fun.
Watch it. Don't say you can do anything in the NFL. There was a TV show. I don't know if you guys got it over here. It was like Pros versus Joes, where regular Joes tried to do stuff that pros could do, and God awful, it was a shit show. These guys couldn't kick 15-yard field goals. But back to the game.
I've got a leg on me. Give me a shot. I'll give it a go.
You're in goal. They're not the best kickers.
Hey, yeah. Yes, they are, actually.
Okay, I know nothing about your football, so let's just move on.
We'll set it up. We'll find a local team to actually let me try out for a kicker, and we'll film it for the YouTube.
Look out.
Wow.
So fourth quarter, Diggs looked really good in the fourth quarter. A note that I had about our wide receivers are, I think Bean did such a good job in bringing in the right wide receivers to match Allen's skill set. He didn't get guys. He didn't get guys who, you know, were gonna, you know, it's hard to say what they can't do, but what he did get was guys who could make contested catches, who can make adjustments, who can, you know, see a ball and quickly get to it. Because these guys were not being thrown at their chest, you know. Diggs and Beasley today had to make a lot of catches where they were sliding, where they were, you know, outside their body. You know, really playing, we got the right wide receivers for the quarterback. And I think going off the rest of the season, it's going to look good. The one thing that our wide receivers couldn't do, though, was catch that airmail in the end zone that Allen missed horribly to John Brown. That's going to be the play that you see most probably in the replays by Allen haters. He can't make the easy throws, but he can make the hard throws more than anybody else. But it's plays like this that's going to keep our conversation about Josh Allen going, unfortunately.
He had
time. The rusher slipped. He had time to set, and he just lofted it. He could have gunned it. This one hurts.
I think looking at the angle it was, I think he did have a defender really close to him, so he was trying to alley-oop it over. I think
the way he threw it was based off of the angle that he was running more than having – he didn't need to get it over a defender at all. What I saw was he threw it kind of like up like that. I mean, he didn't really get anything behind it because his body was so far off of his adjustments. So there was no setting of the feet. It was all wrist instead of arm. And that's why it sailed on him. And, week one, roughs, I want to give the benefit of the doubt in week one. Every mistake, I'll say rust.
Yeah.
Next week, I'm not going to get any excuses. I'm going to say what happened, you know?
If you can hit 300 plus yards, passing yards on rust after no preseason and training camp that was actually, that was very difficult, then I'm not going to say you've got that pressure to do it every week. It's depending on the game and how it goes. But it's what we see from the Bills last year, the fourth quarter Bills come out and they don't go behind, they don't concede many points, if at all any. Josh Allen comes out on fire. Okay, the one bad pass, we just ignore that. But once it comes to the fourth quarter, if it's a tight game, you know there's going to be you're going to have a good chance that the Bills can make something of it and actually go ahead and go and win.
The fourth quarter quarterback, I think today solidifies, I'll say this with the utmost of confidence. Today we learned what Josh Allen will be for the rest of his career. He's going to be that guy who can do everything with a bonehead play here or there. And I think that's going to be who he always is. Because he's such a gamer, his passion outweighs his logic, and he's going to always try and do everything. Coaching has got him this far to be a really good quarterback in the league who can throw for 70% and get a 300-yard game and also run the ball. The fumbles. So we know who we have now, I think. This is the Allen that is going to always be. This is the Allen that we're going to see all year. Three touchdowns, one or two turnovers, one bonehead play, two bonehead plays, but enough to keep us in every game.
Yeah, no, I'm still expecting.
You think he can clean this up?
Yes.
You really?
I feel that he can. I think it's.
Eternal optimist.
It's this season. I'm going to put the first few games, the first maybe two games, just down to getting that match sharpness back. Yep. Because he would have had under his belt, he'd have had at least out of the four preseason games, he would have had at least two full games or enough.
I would say he'd play the first half in the third preseason game. He'd play the first half. He probably does one full game in the preseason.
So one and a half games. Yeah, you're in probably preseason. Looking
at 30 attempts, maybe probably no runs because we would tell him not to run in the preseason. But we have a really good week one and week two where we have the Jets who are a bad pass defense. The next week we have the Dolphins who are probably a better pass defense, but a weaker run defense. So we'll really be able to really get comfortable for our first 2 weeks because the schedule gets tough after that.
Yeah. I'm putting out that I think Allen can fix these issues. I mean, the way he's fixed, how he's actually started throwing mechanics, his management of the game and all that from his rookie year to now shows me that he has that mental capacity to actually say, okay, yeah, that's something I just need to work on. Let's work on it. This is something that I think I need to improve on. I will go and improve it. He's one of those guys that, you're right, he's a gamer. He's a guy that will never give up in games and all that. He'll always strive to improve. So based on that and his personality, I think that he's gonna get rid of those mistakes. He's gonna try and erase them. Maybe he'll have the one or two mistakes a game. Mm-hmm. Name me a quarterback that doesn't.
Yeah. No, absolutely. It's a good point because people, the broadcast was comparing him to Cam Newton. I see more Mahomes than Newton in Josh Allen in the sense that when you go to the store, you want to, when you go buy a car, you have, you know, the Lamborghini, then you have like the knockoff. Allen's more of like the knockoff than the actual real deal. I don't want to say he's Mahomes light because I think he's not as good yet, but here's a guy who Mahomes Thursday night made some dumb throws, missed a lot of guys, but also hit when he needed to, made the smart plays when they mattered most. And that's exactly what Allen did this week. You're not going to get the consistency that Mahomes provides, but you're going to get the creativity just, and with a little bit less of the success.
Yeah. So let's go for a game review. So I know we've got a few questions from our Twitter followers. Let's just have a quick post game.
You're falling asleep over there. Are you hanging in there?
I'm still alive. Yeah. I'm alive. See, I'm alive. Awake.
11:30 here, recording time. So yeah, hit us with what you got, and then we'll hit the Twitter questions.
For me, it's yes. We had Milano out. We've had Edmonds out for that game. I saw some promise there in Dodson, who had that sack.
Good.
He nearly had the interception. I think what they've seen of him in preseason, I think we've got a good replacement that can learn under Edmonds. Obviously, maybe depending on how bad the hamstring is, you're going to have to look elsewhere to get another linebacker in.
Injuries are tough.
Yeah, whether they bring back Joseph, whether they bring back Corey Thompson, or do they go
Juan Foggy?
Yeah, Juan Foggy, or they go to the waiver wire. I think Clay Matthews is still available. There's still a couple.
If you want that veteran, you know.
I still think that there are some still good free agent linebackers out there.
Tough to plug and play. I think our defense is a little bit complicated, but.
Or even get back Lurax. He said he'd still be up for it. Yeah, he knows the system.
Yeah.
He's still been working out.
Yeah.
Get him on board. But no, I think it's...
Injuries are a little bit worrisome, so...
Yeah. But there's a lot of positives you can take out of it. Oh, the wide receivers.
Yeah.
Josh Allen's finally got his 300 game. You've got defense that still are strong, regardless of how many of our key players are down injured. That front four, interchangeable and still dominant.
Yep.
I didn't see much to worry us in the secondary. It's just the only thing that can cause a concern is that linebacker core.
Yeah.
But we'll see how it progresses throughout the season.
Yeah. So for all you 300-yard lovers, as of this recording, 300-yard passers are 3-3 this week. I am kind of stretching it because Matt Stafford had 297, and he did that in a loss. So Allen, 312 win. Russell Wilson, 322 win. Rodgers, 364 win. At the same coin, Rivers, 363 loss. Aforementioned Stafford, 297 loss. Matt Ryan, 450 loss. It's a 50-50 stat. It is not an indication of a quality quarterback. Let's just end this debate now. It's nice that we saw him. If anything, it's a desire for us Bills fans to want to have a quarterback who can match stats of those stat guys.
Yeah.
But it's not any indication of skill or talent. A lot of it has to do with offensive scheme. I think Mahomes Mahomes had less than 250 on Thursday night. I mean, let's calm down with this. So that's all I got for the Bills game. We'll get to the questions in 1 second. Just do you have any comments on any of the other games this week?
Not really, no.
The only thing I had is just LOL Browns.
I wanted to think about the football team.
What?
The football team.
There were a lot of football teams this week.
No, the Washington football team. Oh, the football team.
the football team. Yeah, yes.
That's what they're called now, isn't it? Yeah, Washington football team.
It's going to be really confusing to talk about them, isn't it? I love week one because it's always weird because teams aren't solidified in who they are yet. And then you add in the COVID weirdness. There were some upsets. There were some shocking results. There were some stats. I just love week one. Football excitement and just weirdness and upsets.
So yeah.
Really fun stuff. But
I probably lost a load of points on the pick'ems when I actually had some of the teams I've gone for that I actually lost.
Yeah, week one's the hardest pick'em week. So let's hit up Twitter. We have Tom who says, think we tend to overreact to every little detail. Has to be some slack given in all circumstances. Score line, not a true reflection of the dominance. Just that John Brown TD miss would have put the icing on the cake. I think that's a really good point. This game was never in doubt. It was never really close. The commentators talked about momentum for a little bit. I think that's just because they like to be dramatic. But were you ever worried?
No. When am I ever to be worried about Bill's game?
Yeah. So Richie Maddox says, we need to look after the egg first and foremost, clearly, Josh Allen, with Motor and Moss, why so many designed QB runs, few areas to improve on, but a W against a division rival can't really complain. That's a really good point at the end there. A win is a win. And we're going to talk about that all year because there might be some clear ones, but, for the Motor and Moss point, I think it's just because the Jets know how to stop the run, and that's what they're good at. Their front seven is, no matter what the formation, they're always going to stop the run. So we played to their weakness and our strength, which was the passing game this week.
Yeah, I mean, I don't – yeah, we've gone on and mentioned about the design quarterback runs. I say, I'd keep them in there, but they designed a few more of those because – obviously, Moss and Singletary, what, between them got, what, about 30 yards between them on their carries?
Moss had that receiving touchdown, but other than that,
so
only one really good run by Singletary all game between the two.
So I think, so combined, they've got about 40, 50 yards on there. So as much as people hate the design quarterback runs, I say, if we limit the amount but still keep them in there, it's always going to be a case you're going to keep that defense guessing because when you have them both in the background, you're thinking, okay, they could do an RPO. They could switch up to RPO.
Yeah, maybe
I think one of the runs.
Maybe some more draws just to kind of
think,
you got to do something to get the running backs in space because you want Allen's 50 yards to really be in the hands of a running back because there's less of a chance of fumbling there.
There was one play.
You know
there
how
was,
many?
There was one,
Go ahead.
There was one play that I think it was Singletary that took the handoff that I think you could actually see Josh was trying to pull it away.
Yeah.
He saw what was actually going to happen.
Yeah, I think it was the second RPO play where the first one, Allen pulled it down and he got stopped. So he wanted to do it the second time, mix it up with Singletary, but he just he let Singletary take it. That'll be something that we can work on. Definitely, I think a focus will be on getting the running backs more room. So that's something to look forward to because they're both talented and we will use them. So,
yeah.
Jonathan just posts a GIF of Michael Scott from The Office with the cringe face saying, concern number one, linebackers. Injuries, yes, but definitely not on play, on field play. Nothing to be concerned about from what they were able to do while they were on the field. Just we talked about depth at linebacker, right? So
I think the only concern is just how long Milano's going to be out. I mean, he made that great interception.
Fantastic.
I think we've got a replacement. We've got our heir apparent at depth for Mike in Dodson, who can also play other spots as well. So if Edmund is fit, don't be surprised to see Dodson maybe playing in Milano's spot.
I mean, wouldn't call him an heir apparent. I mean, Edmonds is like 22 years old, so.
Well, heir apparent that if Edmonds has to be out for a certain period, we have a game.
Quality backup, yeah.
Yeah. So the heir apparent to take that spot if Edmonds go out.
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's the way I explain stuff. You just go.
I mean, even though we speak the same language, sometimes we're absolutely not. So.
Yes, exactly.
We got George Jeffress on Twitter saying, when will I be fully convinced that Brian Daboll is the right man for the job? Note, I don't particularly dislike the guy, just not fully on board. Well, George, I can't tell you when you'll fully be on board. That's up to you. But honestly, the play calling this week was flawless?
No.
No.
I think there were still times where they were actually looking to run a lot more. Okay, yes, they were up quite a big score. But at that point, you should never take your gas off. And if they, when they called some running plays and didn't go anywhere, at that point, you should start thinking, okay, let's mix it up because we're not going to run three or four run plays to get us nothing and just go three and out.
Yeah.
Maybe do a couple. If it doesn't work, then go to passing for a few to try and set up another a play action or anything like that. I think there is still a little bit to worry about in DeBoer's play calling. I mean, he's had 3 years. This offense should now be pretty much finely tuned because they know what Allen's strengths are. There's still times people say it's the design quarterback plays, some of the other plays as well. I think he just needs to mix and match it a bit. He's a bit predictable. You can see that he starts to become a little bit predictable where he's got all these options, he's got all these different plays he could do, mix and match, maybe go predictable for a series, then another series, mix it up, do a couple of passes and a run, pass, run, or anything like that, just so you're keeping that defense guessing.
I think the narrative would be a lot different if we get points on those two Allen fumbles. They were deep in Jets territory, and if he hits on that Brown touchdown, you're looking at 40-10, you know? I mean, I think that the narrative would be a lot different. I think that if Allen does better, then we like Daboll more. That's kind of how that's always going to come up, you know?
But
I was fine with the play calling because I knew that we weren't going to be able to run. And I don't think there was really ever going to be an opportunity to run. I think that he did everything right. Maybe a play here and there, but there's no such thing as a flawless game plan because the other team's trying to win the game too.
Oh yeah. So, no, I agree. I agree. There's no, you cannot name one offensive coordinator that's had a perfect game called with runs and all that. Yeah. I get that. I mean, there are times the ball's probably the best OC we've had since probably Chan Gailey, maybe a little bit Greg Roman when he first came over, until we actually started going back to being vanilla. But you always do have to say that there could be a tiny bit of concern, but hopefully, as I say, it's the first 2 weeks are really time just to this year to really iron those out. Because as I say, preseason, you'd have had a lot more plays. And again, you can run those plays as much as you like in training camp, but you're playing against your own team.
I mean, I wouldn't speak too much to preseason game calling. I mean, you basically print off the Madden playbook and play that in preseason. But yeah, it's weird to see that I'm being more optimistic on this point than you are. It's usually the other way around. I'm by no means a Daboll apologist. I was harsh on him last season, but I really liked the game plan this week.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's probably one of the better offensive coordinators we've actually had. I think it will be a week or two just to shake it off. So an actual full match action to really solidify and actually show what we could do. So, yes, he may not call the perfect game for the first 2 weeks or may go repeat himself a few times, but It's just getting the guys back into the swing of it, of actual live full contact, yeah, 1,000 miles an hour action. So you're not really gonna see him mix and match a little bit in the first 2 weeks when you know that you want to get that building block going.
And you don't want to show everything early on in the season either. So I think he definitely had a smaller playbook because he knew exactly how to beat the Jets. And then the last question we got from Josh Rosales, how concerned about the kicking game should we be? Now, I know we talked about this earlier, but you're not worried. I give kickers this long of a leash. You have literally one job.
Yeah.
Wide receivers got to run a route. You have to have speed. You have to block. You have to be a distraction for your other receivers. Kickers, you got to kick. Buffalo, crowd noise, not windy, no excuse. Jitters, I'll let it pass. But I need to see him not go 50% next week.
Ask me that question in after week four. Ask me that question after week four, and I'll tell you how concerned I am with it.
I would maybe even push it to week six, just because he's a draft pick. If he was an undrafted rookie coming in, then I think we cut ties with him sooner. But because we have invested in him, I think that there's a longer leash and a more desire to, you know, work on things.
Yeah. So I'm not concerned right now.
Okay.
Maybe in 4 or 5 weeks, I'm there going to be there going,
yeah. Yeah, if when there's a kick that matters in the fourth quarter, that's going to be the only way we judge him, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I can't knock him for today. That, I say, that first field goal went over, as far as I'm concerned.
We'll chalk this one up to jitters. Settle down, kid. You'll be fine. Just don't lose your confidence. It's so important.
Yeah. So I think that wraps up this episode, this review episode. The Bills are 1-0. Got any final thoughts, or are we going to wrap this up so you can do whatever you're going to be doing tomorrow?
Yeah. Tomorrow, going to see some castles in and around Inverness, so we're looking forward to that. Next week, Miami, I will be on the road again. I'll be landing in JFK at kickoff. So again, I'll be watching the game in my car. On my laptop, and I don't think we'll be able to put a review video up because I'll be getting home at about 10 o'clock Eastern time, so you'll probably be sleeping by then.
Yes,
so, yeah, I will be. The review show will come out next Monday for the Dolphins game. So, Matt, I feel good about this. 1-0, feels nice. Sign us off.
Okay, so that's for Alex. This is me, Matt, signing off with a 1-0 Bills, and we will say good evening, good morning, good afternoon, probably good evening when you actually listen to this, good night if you're going to sleep, and continue to subscribe to us. Hit that subscribe button, hit those likes and those follow buttons, and all we say is go Bills.
Go Bills.
Not us.
Yeah, not us.
You don't know anything about heart? You don't know anything about work?
No. Huh? No. That's who we are.
Bills on three. 1, 2, 3.